Like, imagine this scenario. Teacher walks into a classroom. She then asks, "Class, give me the examples of prime numbers." And 2 comes from the back. 3, says little Susan. 699, shouted Johnny. "No, no, no, Johnny. I think you mean 7, don't you?" "No, ma'am. Prime is selling for $6.99 now at Checkers." Just over a year ago, it was in March, and we spoke to the owner of Obsessions here in Cape Town about how customers are more than happy to pay as much as 800 rand for a 500ml bottle of Prime hydration drink. It is sugary water fluid. And then ShopRite Checkers, they then scored a consignment and they retailed the bottle for 40 rand at selected stores. And then ever since then, the price has steadily been dropping. Even at my local Spaza shop, Prime used to sell for 60 rand. I've never bought the darn thing, but now I see there's a little display and it's selling for 19 rand 99. Brandon de Kock is the director of storytelling at Brand Map. Why have we seen this dramatic fall in prices for what was supposed to be a game-changing hydration drinks, Brandon? Not just here in South Africa, but around the world as well. Good morning.
Yeah, good morning, Esther. It's I think in simple terms, it's product cycle, isn't it? I mean, this is the first year economics at UCT. You're talking about a product that was sort of released in very limited numbers into the marketplace. Massive demand created by 2 of the world's biggest YouTubers. So there's your first key is, you know, modern media. 2 of the world's biggest YouTubers, 100 million followers combined. And they launch, as you say, sort of fairly nasty tasting sugar water. So they create massive demand and then they leak it out with limited supply. And they're global. So the same thing's going to apply all over the world. So this is just supply and demand, not meeting, drives the price up. And you know what? Now, in order to make some cash out of the brand that they've created, they've got to supply normal amounts. So now they're just up against everybody. They're up against a cup of sweet tea, they're up against Energade, you know what I mean? They're up against every other brand in the world.
So at the end of the day, I don't have an economics degree, I don't have a marketing degree, but in my layperson's opinion, simply just marketing and the virility of a campaign that particularly attacked young people on social media, and that is how they managed to twist their parents' arm to go to either a little import store and then later to a ShopRite and Checkers to stand in line for a bottle of 45 rand sugary drink. And that was the price at ShopRite Checkers about a year ago. But some people still paid as much as 800 rand. Pure virility that has now died down.
Yeah, that's exactly it. You know, and it's still, I mean, weirdly enough, it's still actually, I saw Takealot, for example. You can still pay up to like 120 bucks for certain flavors. Because, you know, that was the other genius of what they did. They released multiple flavors and some of them were in seriously short demand. So this is a, you know, I think back to years gone by and you think of things. Do you remember the Cabbage Patch dolls?
Yes,
you know,
Cabbage
Patch Kids. Sorry. I mean, it was the same kind of thing. There were certain characters or there were certain things that were so limited in supply that parents were willing to pay enormous sums just to sort of make their kids happy. So I think here's the key to it for me. You know, one of the definitions of brand I once heard, which is there are many definitions of brand. One of them I once heard was that a brand is something that either honestly or dishonestly adds value to a product or service over and above the actual value of that product or service. So I think what we're seeing here is a little bit of that. I'm not sure it's totally honest to use massive appeal or massive public persona power together with a totally average product. I mean, I'm being rude about it. I'm not an energy drink expert, but let's face it, it's all fairly similar stuff. And I have tasted it, and I'm not sure I would pick it in a taste test. You know what I mean? It's just sugary water. So I'm not sure that it's not a little bit dishonest in a way to leverage this power against consumers. I was going to use the word stupidity. Stupidity is probably a bit wrong. It's just that we're gullible. You know, consumers can be gullible. We like things that are exclusive. We like being able to go, oh, you know, I've got this thing because it's not everybody's got it. And that's all they leverage.
And let's be honest also, a youth market drives a consumer economy. Teenage girls drive a consumer economy. Taylor Swift brought like several hundred millions of dollars to the Singaporean market economy simply because of a recent tour here. I'm not necessarily, I'm sure there are older people who are Taylor Swift fans, Swifties, but because young people are wringing the arm of their parents to buy them expensive drink, to buy them tickets to an expensive concert, youth markets drive a consumer economy in the global order.
Yeah, you're absolutely spot on. I mean, that's definitely, well, there are a few things around that. First of all, it's one of the reasons why the brand's taken so much flack in the US, right? Because, you know, when they launched they started with the hydration drink. So hydration's basically your sugar water. And then they brought the energy drink. And the energy drink had sort of enough caffeine in it to get you and I talking at 3:30 in the morning. You know what I mean? It was massive, massive amounts of caffeine. I think there might actually still be ongoing lawsuits about it. So the youth, and that's, those lawsuits are because the thing was marketed to youth. What I think super interesting about these two guys is that their massive following, they're one of some of the first people who've leveraged social media with a young male audience. It wasn't necessarily a female audience, which, as you say, normally drives things. This was leveraging a youth male audience. It's the same as Andrew Tate and, to a degree, Joe Rogan, although mostly more like Andrew Tate, I think. It's unusual for young males to become a market force, and that's definitely what was behind Prime. You know, it's like, if I drink this stuff, maybe I'll also be able to box like Logan Paul.
Logan Paul, and I think it's Kai Cenat, they have also asked or leveraging in the sports marketing business. They're now the supplier of Arsenal. Apparently, they're the supplier of Bayern Munich, the football team in Germany as well. So, in fact, the marketing of this product hasn't stopped, even though prices have tumbled.
Oh no, absolutely. I think they, I mean, as I said, I think all that they're doing now is now they're just in they're in the market, right? So that was just the most brilliant launch campaign you can imagine, using modern media with modern media stars, with modern media pull and audience power. They're clever boys. I mean, let's face it. That sounded deprecation or demeaning. They're not clever boys. They're very clever young men who have done unbelievably well and amassed one of the biggest, most powerful audiences you can imagine globally. So I think we can expect they'll probably be writing books. They'll probably rejuvenate the magazine industry if they published a magazine. I mean, they can do pretty much what they want, these guys. That's the power that they have. You know, once again, it's the Joe Rogan thing. You know, when you've got 80 million people listening to you, you're effectively starting to become one of the most powerful media players on the planet.
Brandon de Kock, really appreciate your insight. Director of Storytelling at Brand Map. I can say I haven't bought a bottle. I have tasted a few flavors, but even at less than 10 Rand, it's not in my wheelhouse of things I'd like to consume. Brandon, thanks so much for joining.